Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for life.
You're so perfect.
Your life has become our light. And our candle has been forevermore lit. If we could ever grasp that, Lord, we would never be the same. Help us to understand the power of the rebirth, Lord. Help me to understand the power of the rebirth and the power of transformation. Your glory has quickened us, Lord. The same glory that quickened us lives in us. And if we live out of that glory, Father, we bring you glory. And when we're all done, Father, we receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Your glory quickened, your glory remained. We live out of that glory and we bring you glory. And then when we go home, we receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. So it's safe to say, Father, it's all about your glory. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you.
Hallelujah.
Worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Glory. Harry, you can keep playing or else you can start the CD in the back, whatever is easier for you, buddy. Play or just play the little medley in the background for me in the back, somebody. So, Father, we thank you. We worship you. Praise you. Turn down a little bit. Thank you. Hallelujah. I've been feeling something real different on me all week long. It's kind of hard to explain. So I begin to weep. Just weep with me. What's the Lord been showing you lately, Homer? I'll have no problem if this message is not put on the website or on YouTube. I'll let Pastor decide that. You let your boss decide that, right? What I've been learning lately, again, if this does not go on YouTube or on the website, I completely understand. This is big boy and big girl class here. Big boy and big girl. What I've been learning lately is the gospel that I behold sometimes from about 7:30 to about 3:30 every day. I don't know how many hours that is. That's what, 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever. The gospel that I behold every day, I'm learning that it's powerful. Even when I don't feel it. You got to catch that. I'm learning how powerful it is when I don't feel it. What's the proof in the pudding? When circumstances come. Learning the power of the gospel that I hear all day long and don't feel most of the time. I'm learning there's power in what I don't feel. I'm learning what this word will do to you, and the proof's in the pudding. The proof's in adversity, in circumstance, and in persecution. I heard a transgender person bragging about that they were transgender, but by the time the conversation was over, they were crying and wanted to commit suicide because of the miserable state they were in. And this word, and I know this is not my Bible. These are 64 CDs from Genesis to Revelation. This is my Bible. But don't be surprised if in the next second or so, next minute, I'll be reading the regular King James Bible. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But for the meantime, this is my Bible. 64 CDs. 64. It's a challenge. but I am not limited. When the Holy Ghost takes me to the book of Jeremiah, I got to look through 64 CDs to find that chapter. It's a challenge, but I am not limited. And don't you ever call me limited. I have to go through 64 CDs to find where I feel the Holy Ghost would have me go. So please don't tell me you can't read your word. Please don't tell me how much of a struggle it is. Please don't tell me. When I walk from there to the restroom, at times I forget, really, that I can't see. Then I run into a wall and I'm quickly reminded that I can't see. It's a challenge, but I am not limited. I'm learning the gospel of Christ is powerful when I don't even feel it. I'm learning when I see a transgender person that most Christians think are gross, I'm learning to cry with them because they want out of that prison. I cry with them. And I say to myself, God, if I could just lay my hands on them, they could feel the love and the conviction of God. That's the power of the gospel that I don't feel sometimes. I'm learning that I don't have to feel this to know that it's true. That's why there's failure in the body of Christ, because we go by feeling. I doubt Jesus felt the Holy Ghost when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why has thou forsaken me? But he knew he had to finish. I can hear demonic platforms. I can hear when, and this is not about politics, this is about platforms. Paul instructed us in the book of Titus to speak evil of no man. But I can speak evil of a platform, my friend. I can speak evil of executive order that says a man can use a restroom with a little girl. I can say that it's evil when someone says that it's okay for a man to marry a man. I can speak evil. In fact, I'm told to hate evil. But I'm learning that even those that have demonic platforms, through the gospel that I don't feel, I'm learning that they need a redeemer. I'm learning by the gospel that I don't feel to be quiet and to pray. I'm learning according to the gospel that I do not feel that I cannot walk in strife or in hate. I'm learning through the gospel that I do not feel that it's okay to be wrong sometimes. I'm learning according to the gospel that I don't feel that though I'm right sometimes, I don't have to speak. I'm learning sometimes through the gospel that I don't feel that I'm called to be a slave in sonship to the kingdom of the Almighty God. In sonship, I choose to be a slave. I choose to be a man that considers himself having no rights. I'm on a journey to believe in that. There's power in the gospel that we don't feel. There's power in it. That's why I don't say anymore, I feel great. There's nothing wrong with feeling great. But will your mindset be the same way when you don't feel great? We're born of incorruptible seed. We're born the life of God. The gospel that I don't feel sometimes is so powerful. It is so powerful. It is powerful. It'll cause you to hold one woman in your arms forever. It'll cause you to love your enemies. It'll cause you to march into adversity with peace. There's power in the gospel that we don't feel, because it's truth. Truth has nothing to do with feeling. Truth is truth because it's His truth. I don't need to feel it to do it. I'm a steward of what I say. I'm a steward of what I don't say. I'm a steward of what I do and what I don't do. No one can make me say it. No one can make me do it. I steward that through the rebirth. I steward it. The Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Powerful. When all the time, when I don't feel it, it's powerful. Can I talk to you a little bit about having an I syndrome? You know what the I syndrome is? Can anybody help me with that? It's all about me. You know what, though? I found out through the Psalms that the I syndrome is okay. What? Let me finish. A king appointed and anointed by God had the I syndrome. Can you prove it? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. There's nothing wrong with having the I syndrome. Can you prove it? Oh, yeah. Oh, I can prove it. Through the Holy Ghost and through the Holy Scriptures. Look for singular and look for plural. Trust me on this. King David, I've been going through the Psalms for years. This whole week I was locked up in the Psalms just over and over again. Psalms 3, 23, 18, 27, 34, 63, 91, 84, 112. Thank you, Miss Candy. 119. Over and over and over again. And I'm going to quote to you some Psalms and some verses. And I want you to catch what I mean when I say it's okay to have the I syndrome. Look for singular and look for plural. And tell me what you come up with at the end of these Psalms that I quote. Look for singular and look for plural. Psalms 3. King David, the giant killer, says, Lord, how have they increased that trouble me? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and slept, and I woke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? When the wicked, mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host may encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, one thing, and this one thing, will I be confident, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalms 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all my enemies. Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Trust me, I could go on and go on, but I think you get my drift, don't you? Do you see singular there, or do you see plural? A whole lot of singular. A whole lot of singular. Somebody had the I syndrome. Me, my, or I was his vocabulary. David spoke and wrote out of who God was to him. I, me, or myself. He spoke about himself. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Shall I go on, or do you got the rest? He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the pathways of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I was in Texas, and I've been in the Psalms, and I've been so, you get caught up in them, and you feel like a warrior. You do, God, you do. I was in the border of Texas, and I just heard about some demonic, you could feel the demonic pressure there, because we talk about Chicago, Illinois, having murder. My son Quentin, he's here, you here, son? He went with me to Texas one time, and Quentin didn't scare him much. But when I took him into Mexico, my son was scared. He's been scared two times that I've seen him in Mexico. And we went and played Glade Central when he hid under Pastor Bronx's bosom. When we played Glade Central, he was scared. He wanted to hide under Pastor Bronx because there was a lot of people there that didn't like us. Twice he's been scared in Mexico and in Glade Central. So Chicago, Illinois is nothing compared to the nation of Mexico. Nothing. You could feel the devils at the border. I could feel them telling me stories of how they would go into certain places in Mexico, and a guy in a motorcycle would just take out his helmet and go to businesses and clear out the register, the money in the motorcycle helmet. He'd just run off. How one guy said, I'm not paying you. So the outcasts and the vagabonds in Mexico raped his daughter because he didn't pay and cut her up to pieces. That's the norm. That's the norm over there. If I'm not mistaken, Mexico leads probably one of the worst countries in the world as far as murders. And guess what? I'm not going to start a movement that says Mexican lives matter. I'm not going to start that kind of movement. You know why, friends? Because all lives matter. All lives matter. We went to an HEB, and I felt it. I felt it. I was real quiet. But something rose up in me. And I thought I looked at my wife, but I looked that way. And I felt without feeling, but knowing. You catch that? I felt without feeling, but knowing it was ugly. But I had been going through the Psalms, feeling real valiant through the scripture. And they know if you're from the States or not. They know if you're from the States. They'll take your daughter in a heartbeat and they'll just take her as a ransom. All they would have got of me was a social security check, so they wouldn't have got too much. But I told my wife, just get behind me. You just get behind me. And when I said it, I wasn't saying it as a husband. I was and I wasn't. I felt the power of the scripture in my spirit. You just get behind me. Whether I can stop an attack or whether I'll take a bullet for you, I don't know. But you just get behind me, baby. You're man. Through God. We'll take up for you. You get behind me. I didn't say that at the moment to be courageous in front of my wife. I had been beholding the scriptures and I was being turned into the very thing that I was beholding. Are you with me? David wrote and expressed what God was to him. He didn't write it to believe it. He wrote it because he believed it. This is what God was him. You are my light. You are my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Singular. Time and time and time again. Me, myself, or I. He wrote of himself. He wrote of a personal experience that he had with the Almighty God. But then he gave me hope. He gave me hope and he gave me his secret. All the Psalms that he wrote fall back on one verse. My favorite is Psalms 18. Oh, I hear it and I get excited. Because he wasn't saying it to believe it. He wrote it because he believed it. There's a difference. And he said this, and I quote, I love it. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all mine enemies. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The enemies that he referenced were people. We are born again believers. We do not reference people anymore. We reference devils, the kingdom of darkness. In all those Psalms that he wrote, one verse, he introduces me to a verse. One verse, he introduces me to a verse, or maybe one day, I'll write my own psalm to you of what the Father means to me. Now, I can't take away or add to the book. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we ought to be able to write and to express what the Father is to me and you. One verse out of all that he said, all the singular Bible verses that he quoted, of all the singular chapters that he quoted, me, myself, and I, he was referencing himself. This is who God is to me. By my God, I can leap over a wall, figurative speech. By my God, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can bend a bow of steel. David was a warrior. Warrior terminology. God, you arm me with strength unto the battle. By my God, I can leap over a wall. You enlarge my steps underneath me. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. Me, myself, I, throughout the whole Psalms, basically, he referenced himself regarding his relationship with the Almighty God. But yet he gave me his secret. He gave me his secret on how Pastor Bronk maybe one day can write his own psalm of what God means to him. A psalm is a poem or a song. I'm going to share with you Psalms 151, though there is no Psalms 151, it only goes to 150. I'm going to share with you a psalm in a little bit of what the Father means to me. Not adding or taking away from the scripture, just teaching you something. And the Lord laid this on my heart earlier this week, but I stopped because I want to be transparent and I want to quote that psalm out of my heart of what the Father is to me right now in my life. But David gave me hope. He gave me hope. He gave me instruction on how the same thing that God was for him, he could be for me. I, me, and my. He quoted it throughout a lot of the Psalms. He did use the plural on occasion, but he was referencing himself. He gave me hope on what his secret was. I don't have time to cover it all, but on Psalm 63, he talks a lot about worship. And I can't really get into that tonight. The 63rd Psalm, David says, again, God, you are my God. Singular, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. It goes worship now. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. Is there a whole lot of singular in there? Me, myself. When Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. Is that singular? Let him. It was a whosoever invite, but then he got personal with those that would come. He said, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. More singular. But the invitation was plural. To whoever would follow him. But David gave me so much hope. You know, thinking about David in Psalms 119, and I got to be careful to show you the New Testament here. I can't leave tonight with giving you just an old covenant perspective, because there's a difference, my friend. The Old Testament saints were not born again. The New Testament saints were. Big difference. Big difference. 196 times in Psalms 119, David references the word judgment, statute, testimony, or commandments. 196 times. 30 times in Psalms 119, David references the word keep or kept regarding the word of God. 100 times he references himself. When you read the Psalms, David cried out for an enlarged heart. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He said, Lord, enlarge my heart and I will keep your commandments. David said this, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than 10,000 of gold and silver. He said, princes persecute me without a cause, but I stand in awe of your word. He said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. You are my hiding place, my refuge. I hope in your word. Listen to what he said. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the word of the Lord. Depart from me, ye that want to kill me. You don't stand a chance. I keep the word of the Lord. Your word unto me is sweeter than honey. 7 times a day do I worship you because of your word. 196 times he references the word of God in Psalms 119. 196 times. 30 times he references keep or kept. You don't think that it'd be to our best interest to walk in obedience to God's word? I, me, and myself is what he referenced in the majority of his Psalms. Why? Because he had a personal experience with the Almighty God. But even in that, if you read the Psalms, Pastor Bronco probably know this. You read the Psalms and you hear about David swearing about the law of God. He swears by it. But at the same time, when you read the Psalms, you see a man, Pastor Bronco, asking for help. You with me, Pastor? He's swearing by the law. Thy law do I love. I will walk at liberty, for I keep your precepts. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But if you read the Psalms, he's a man loving the law, filling his heart with the law, but yet he's begging for help. He brags about the power of God's word, but yet he's begging for a little help. Why? I tell you why. Because what he was begging for, we have. We have the life of God in us. What he was begging for, Lord, I love your precepts, Lord, but enlarge my heart, Lord. Enlarge it. I'm hiding your word in my heart, Lord, but God, enlarge my heart. He was begging and knew that the rebirth was coming. We don't have to beg. We don't have to fail. We've been born again. We've been born again. What he longed for, what he knew was coming, we have. He said, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. What he longed for, Kirsten, we have it. You're gonna tell me we can't change the world for the Father? Yet David, in all the singular statements that he made, he gave me hope. He gave me his secret. One of them was in Psalm 63, how he loved to worship God. And we know Pastor teaches us about worship. But one other verse that all the Psalms are fruit of one verse. One verse. And you know what, I've taught it before. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Here we go. Singular, 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 singular. like we say in Imagli, he finna go plural. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalms 3, singular. 23, singular. 18, singular. 27, singular. 119, a whole bunch of singulars. But here he says, he is a shield, or he is faithful to all those that trust him. My friends, he said, as for God, his way is perfect. We must establish what his way is. In the same psalm, a little earlier in 119, he says, the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. We're going to establish, and we're going to close, what the ways of God are. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. So what were his ways? His what? His judgments and his statutes. He said, I did not put these things away from me. I kept them. I kept myself from my own iniquity. But he says in the middle of 119, as for God, his way is perfect. What is his way? His word. As for God, his way is perfect. His way that is perfect is his word. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. His word to us, kingdom principles, is proven. It's undefiled. It's his way. And if I keep that which is perfect, which is his word, that's proven, and what's proven is his way, then he says to all those that trust his way, which is perfect, holy, and undefiled, he'll be faithful unto you too. If you trust his word, my friend, trusting in God is not a religious cliche. Trusting in God is holding fast to the word of life. Somebody put, very few people agree with what I say about the gospel. Everywhere that I go, very few, either I'm an idiot or I'm wrong or they're right. You probably know what I'm going to say, but I'm not going to say it. One put on Facebook, I trust God with all my heart. Didn't respond. Living with somebody else's husband. But I trust God with all my heart. One argued the scripture with me, drinking a six pack. One was talking about the book of Revelations, chugging a beer down. There's got to be something wrong with that, my friends. True stories. True stories. Telling me about the scriptures with suds in their mouth. Waking up with somebody else's husband telling me they trust in God. That's what the church has become, unfortunately. This is not political. But I want you to know how there's a shortage of God's word in us. And this is not about leaning to any presidential party, but Donald Trump, Mr. Obama, and Mrs. Clinton have one thing in common. One thing. Every one of them have spoken at a Christian establishment. What can they possibly add to the brethren? They've all spoken in AME churches, in Liberty University. They've all spoken in Christian establishments. Again, I'm not telling you to lean here or lean there. That's not what this is about. This is where the church is at. Another thing that they have in common, Mr. Trump, Mr. Obama, Mrs. Clinton, and Mr. Sanders. Another thing they have in common. If they came to Immokalee, Pastor Bronk would give them a mic or a pulpit. They have that in common. Now, if they want to come in here and sit down and be born again, while they hands them and get filled with the Holy Ghost, that they're welcome. All four of them have one thing in common. They won't come in here and grab this mic and this pulpit. There's nothing they can add to our faith, but the church has allowed it. Why? Because we are so void of understanding. So empty of true revelation knowledge. It's the norm now. Here we go. Brace yourself. And I talked to two elders today. Two very mature elders, more mature than I am in the word and in anointing. I have no problem saying that. It's normal now. I was in Texas. It's normal. It's normal. It's the norm now. Nathan can verify this. Where we're content with just hearing teachings and praying in tongues. We're content with that. Now, you're not an apostate. You're not in sin. But my friends, you are a little bit off. You are off. That was your pastor that said, yeah. You got to put the word in you. You can't face adversity. Well, in the name of Pastor Jim Martin, I rebuke you. In the name of Pastor Gary Flynn of the Family Prayer, I rebuke you. No. You got to get it for yourself, man. And they try to justify it. Well, I'm not going to go into detail because they're going to know I'm talking about them. But you know what? My heart's right. I'm worried. You're the future. I'm halfway gone already. I'm going to be 49 pretty soon. You're the future. When I talk to some of you, all you tell me about is tapes and teachings. Tell me about the word. Now, I'm not a hypocrite. Pastor Bronco texts me and say, Homer, hear this teaching about Gary. I'll hear it in a heartbeat. I hear their teachings, but those teachings don't dominate my time with Christ. His word dominates my time with him. His word, the Holy Bible. I asked my pastor today. I said, Pastor, would you rather me hear one of your best teachings twice or hear the book of Romans 100 times? What do you think his answer was? He said, hear my teachings. No, he didn't. He said, put the book of Romans in you 100 times. Homer? He didn't hesitate. Young generation, put God's word in you. Hear the tapes. We got the best teachers in the world by far. No one can touch the revelation that feeds us through the internet. No one can. But you can't live off of that. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Your word, Almighty God. Kingdom principles is what goes inside of me. Kingdom principles. That's what we live by. If Pastor texts me tomorrow and says, Homer, you need to hear Gary's message, I said, I will, Pastor, but come set it up for me because for a season I just can't see right now, Pastor Brown. So come set up my iPhone and I'll hear it. I'm not coming against that at all. Don't let the devil lie to you. You gotta download it in you, man.
Yes.
So that you walk in it. Don't say you can't. Have you ever determined within you that it might be an assignment against you? Let's style Facebook a little bit. I bet you take some Facebook time off. It's hard for me to read. It ain't hard for you to type on Facebook. Oh, no. I just can't. Okay, well, struggle the rest of your life. I can't, Pastor Bronk. 64 CDs. Do you know, and I'm winding down, do you know, honestly, I gotta check my heart. Do you know what I would do to have 1 hour reading my Bible? Do you know what I would give to behold the black and white and the red and see the pages turn? But yet, I'm not limited. Do you know what I would do to look at, I probably would just stare at First John. I probably wouldn't even read it. Stare at it. Stare at it. I'd stare at it. Do you know what I would do? You got it in your lap, man. It's in your lap. Loving people is in your lap. Forgiving your enemies is in your lap. Loving the transgender is in your lap. Loving the homosexual, it's in your lap. Why do you cry? Because I think I'm falling in love with Jesus. I think I'm falling in love with Him. I think I'm concluding that He's worth dying for. Or coming to that conclusion. Don't tell me you can't read. Well, that's not, well, I'm sorry. Jim Martin, Barry Sanders, Pastor Bronk, Pastor Dave, you won't find better teachers, more detailed, with more revelation. You won't find it. But eventually, the 2 times you hear his sermon, eventually, the remembrance will wear away. You put Romans in you 100 times, my friend. You'll wear it forever. You'll wear it. David, winding down. And by the way, my son Quentin's here. I've been praying for him. He came to church a couple Wednesdays ago and he's here again today. And you know, the Christians told me once before to give up on him. Give up on him. He'll never change. Christians told me that. Christians from this church told me that. Give up on him. He'll never change. Never. Give up on him. He'll never change. If you judge things in the natural, you'll think the same way. You've got to judge things in the spirit according to the word of God. He's here. Been reading his Bible lately. We talk quite a bit. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up. David gave us his secret. God, his way is perfect. Perfect means proven. He is a shielder. He is faithful to all those that trust in him. That's our hope. Those psalms were birthed out of hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. They were birthed out of that. God was able to flex his muscle in David's life because of his disobedience, because of his obedience. Yeah, he fell one time, and I won't even go into that. That's another teaching. But he tried like a madman to keep the word of God. And when he fell, he would just offer up an animal. But he took it to the end, Pastor Brown. He fought it hard. He fought it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. My God, I did it. We have the power of the rebirth. What he longed for, God enlarged my heart. Your law is precious. I love it. It's a lamp unto my feet. But God, I need help keeping it. We don't. I hear this all the time. God, help me how to forgive. Okay, I'll help you. Show you how to forgive. First, I'll give you my spirit. Then I'll give you Matthew 18. Lord, help me. Show me how to love. Okay, I'm going to give you of my spirit. Then I'm going to give you 1 John. Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Help me overcome this lust. Okay, I'm going to give you my spirit. Then I'm going to give you the book of Romans. You got to go get it, man. So he said, let your light shine like a city that's set on a hill. Let it. It's up to you. You got to steward that. Lord, I don't want to have sex with my girlfriend. Lord, don't let me have sex with her. No. Romans 6, 7, 8 says sin has no power over you. Go get it. Go get Romans 6, 7, and 8. He's not going to stop you from doing what you want to do. He's already died on the cross and given you of his spirit. And then given you of his word. And then gave you the Holy Ghost. We got to make a decision. Lord, help me love. I will. Read 1 John. Lord, help me forgive. I will. Read Matthew 18. Lord, I can't stand my enemies. Read the Beatitudes. You got to go get it, man. You got to go get it. You got to get it. You got to get it. That's why he said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. We put that light shines on the candlestick when we're not moved or fazed by what we see or feel. Lord, I have your word. I'm going to keep it regardless of what I feel or don't feel, because your word is truth. And I choose discipleship, Lord. No matter what I face, I choose your word. We have what David longed for. God, my desire is to keep your word, Lord, but I see a struggle within me. Lord, help me enlarge my heart, Lord. Enlarge it. I want to keep that which is sacred and perfect. I'm having problems, Lord. Enlarge my heart. He was craving the rebirth that we have. So if I was so honored in closing, if I receive the honor, which I won't, I cannot take away or add to the Holy Scriptures. There's only 150 Psalms. But if I was allowed today to write the 151st Psalm, this is how I would probably go. Based out of my relationship with Jesus Christ, not brainstorming and not thinking, but trying to be transparent and share my heart with you today. I'm going to use singular. I want to relate to you what's in my heart. I don't want to think of what's in my heart. I just want the Holy Ghost to help me speak what's in there. In the 151st Psalm, Lord, I used to be a sinner. One day, Lord, I bowed my knee to you and I asked you into my heart. I had never experienced true love like that morning. I cried, Lord, for 3 days. Tears ran down my face for 3 days. Something happened to me that day, Lord, without knowing that it happened. I felt a freedom in my spirit, that I had never felt before. I did not know the scriptures, but somehow I still knew that there was an internal change inside of me. Along this journey, Lord, that I have journeyed with you, I have failed at times. I have walked in hatred. I have even committed adultery, Lord, in my heart. I have walked in strife. I have walked in emulations. I have walked in lasciviousness, being born again at times, Lord. But then, Lord, I was introduced to the walk in the Spirit. I was introduced to concluding and coming to the conclusion of what it meant to be born of you, Lord. I realized, Lord, that after many times, many hours, and many times of defeat of going through Romans 6, 7, and 8, I concluded that I was free from sin. I concluded through your word that I lived my life in you out of my spirit, and that I only wore a flesh. I concluded this, Father, by countless hours of praying in my prayer language, Lord. I concluded this, Father, by going through Romans till I had them memorized. Even when I had them memorized, Father, I did not stop there. That was not my righteousness, Lord. I kept plowing. I kept plowing till the problem went away. I cried, Lord. I felt defeated. I felt perverted. Then one day, I came to the conclusion that I did not have to do what I was doing. That I was set free at the rebirth. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I have been born again of your spirit. I can have all of you that I want. That, my friends, is Homer's 151st Psalm. That is my heart. Go home tonight. Go home tonight. Don't think. Don't brainstorm. Give him your 152nd Psalm. Speak your heart to him. Be honest with yourself. Judge your Psalm. Judge it. I say that we have been born again. I used to hear a man say that with so much passion. He said, I have been born again. Now I know. I'm starting to know what he meant. The power of the rebirth. The power of praying in the Spirit. The power of going through a book 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 times. The power that the scriptures bring when you don't even feel them. I want Homer to sail away. I want Jesus to be seen and heard in me. If that isn't my speech, I have failed. I would rather sit in that chair on the front row and hear my pastor preach. But make no mistake, I was excited about tonight. I want to be a disciple. I want to love you more. I want to finish. I'm gonna finish. I will finish. Come with us. I used to make mistakes when somebody would say, Homer, I think I'm going to leave the church and go somewhere else. I feel when, and I mean this with all humility, when somebody is being trained in special forces, you can't talk them into staying. Either they want it or they don't. I can't talk you into staying at the Family Prayer Center. Pastor Bronk says it best. This isn't a regular church. This is a training center for men and women, yes, and women of God to go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't convince you to stay here. If I convince you, I'll convince you for a month or two, you'll go back to your same mindset again after the emotion wears off. So I'm not convincing anybody anymore. I wish you well. I wish you well. I am so content at this little church, maybe with 20 people here tonight, 25. I am so content. You couldn't take this from me. You couldn't take it from me. I judge the Word of God by what it's doing inside of me when I don't feel it. And if you're here tonight, you feel the same way because you know what we're going to preach. So you want what I want. You got what I got. It's time to abandon ourselves. Get in the Word, man. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. All glory to the King, Pastor Bronk. All glory to the King. You, my friend, have been a living testimony. You have been a living testimony. It is an honor. It is an honor to co-labor with you and your wife. An honor. So young people, let's finish this. Let's finish this. Not in word, but in power and love and demonstration of the kingdom of God. We have to finish. Will you abort? Or will you hang on in getting rid of yourself in His presence? Will you abort? Will you do the norm and abort? Or will you soldier, carrying your cross daily to bring Him glory? I say we soldier.